gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Happy Monday, everybody. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. Hey, rollicking right-wing world coming up. Next hour, co-hosted by Eric Bollard of Media Matters, the Rude Pundit, in less than half an hour. StephanieMiller.com, check it out. You can email us all there. You can live blog. You can tweet me. You can email us, executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice DD Jim Mortimer, me, Stephanie Miller. Oh, that is known criminal Christopher LaVoy, who got his first speeding ticket ever this weekend.
Mr. Law and Order got a speeding ticket.
Yeah, I didn't say, you know, I'm damn right I'm going to pay it.
You were doing how much in a what?
Well, I was kind of, he clocked me going like 83, 84 and a 65, but he only wrote me up for 80. So that I wouldn't get reckless.
Well, you're lucky. He's not such a right-wing stickler kind of tool person.
And I said to him, you know, this is my first speeding ticket. And he said, really? Yeah, he said, I got two speeding tickets before I was 20.
That's why they get a cop, to crack down on people like me.
Well, apparently it's...
Yeah, I mean, I was breaking the law. Damn right I should be pulled over.
Breaking the law, breaking the law.
I think you should be extradited somewhere, like Roman Polanski, to feel the full force of the law.
See, Stephanie, the thing is, I'm a citizen of the United States. I shouldn't be extradited anywhere.
You should be
anywhere.
Extradited back to Arizona or wherever you're from. All right.
I was born in Los Angeles County.
The important
this
thing
is, where
is
I'm from,
it's
Stephanie.
Still safer to drive because if you fly, your pilot may be asleep. Something like this always happens right when I'm getting ready to go somewhere. I'm ready to book flights for Thanksgiving, and I'm going to Chicago, in December.
Happened.
And,
Nothing happened. They just overshot Minneapolis by 150 miles.
Flight what?
Who hasn't done that?
I'm sorry, honey. Did the pilot say...
They say they weren't asleep.
Yes.
Yeah, but you just
I love
bags
this story.
The eyes of the pilot. Like he hasn't slept in 20 years.
He has like that heating grade indentation on his face.
Yeah.
Like, what? I wasn't asleep.
You could see the impression of the controls on his cheek.
Yeah, the button that says land the plane now. It's just indented on his cheek. What? Yes, the first officer of the Northwest Airlines jet that missed its destination by...
Tilopotois? Oh, autopilot. That's what that says.
150
okay.
miles, whatever. He says that neither he nor the captain...
Minneapolis, Manitoba, what's the difference?
He says neither he nor the captain had fallen asleep.
No.
The passengers were never in any danger.
No.
Bunch of whiners. Okay, so we went past it 100... whatever.
If they'd made it to the Arctic Circle and ran out of fuel, then they'd be in danger.
Yeah. Yes. In an interview with the Associated Press 2 days after he and a colleague blew past their destination as air traffic control tried frantically to reach them, pilot Richard Cole would not say what it was that led them to forget to land flight.
They were in a heated discussion about something.
I know. Apparently. Keys, wallet. No, land the plane. I knew there was something. He said it was not a serious event from a safety issue. I would tell you more, but I've already told you way too much. That's what he said to the AP. I love that.
He did not say that. I've already told you too much?
Yes.
Oh.
It was not a serious event.
Get over it.
Yeah, well, you weren't the person in the back of the plane.
Yeah.
And you didn't miss a connecting flight, so, because you...
Air traffic controllers and pilots tried for more than an hour to contact Cole and the flight's captain using radio, cell phone, and data messages. I wonder if they tried flares.
Yeah.
On the ground, concerned officials, of course, alerted the National Guard jets to prepare to chase the airliner from two locations. They weren't scrambled. So he would not discuss why it took so long for the pilots to respond to radio calls. You see, these days after 9/11, they get a little bit, hysterical when pilots don't respond for, an hour or so. So he said, I can tell you, though, airplanes lose contact with the ground people all the time. It happens.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes they get together right away. Sometimes it takes a while before. Sometimes you're 150 miles past your spot.
Sometimes you make it to the moon. Sometimes the oxygen tanks and the service module blow up. Stuff happens.
So the police report indicated the crew said they'd been having a heated discussion about airline policy.
Right.
I wonder what maybe the airline policy that requires you to stay awake the entire flight. They were having a little dispute about that.
Actually, this sort of thing does happen all the time.
Pilots aviation safety experts and other pilots were deeply skeptical they could have become so distracted by shop talk they forgot to land the plane carrying 144 passengers. The most likely possibility, they said, is the pilots simply fell asleep somewhere along the route from I think we have the press conference.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming to this press conference. First of all, I would like to apologize for the events of Wednesday evening. The first officer and I were engaged in a heated discussion about, let's say baseball. Yeah, sure, that was it, baseball. And fatigue in no way factored into the... As I was saying, acute sleep deprivation had absolutely nothing to... I pay no attention to the set of Samsonite luggage I have under my eyes. The bags under my... Kelly Clarkson! Where am I? Who am I? Why am I here? Oh, ice cream. Obama's a socialist. Of course he's a socialist. I saw it on Glenn Beck. Everybody go. Nappy time.
Oh, that's soothing, isn't it?
Wait, so the pilots actually said it wasn't a big deal?
No, what?
I wonder
whining.
If Northwest Airlines would think it was a big deal if I said, I'm not going to fly Northwest Airlines because their pilots fall asleep.
Mm. I wouldn't be at all concerned that the pilots haven't slept for a week and they get paid 14 cents a day. I'm sure that's no concern. Here's the weird thing, too. The cockpit voice recorder might not tell the tale. New recorders retain as much as 2 hours of cockpit conversation.
Right.
But the older model aboard that particular Northwest flight includes just the last 30 minutes.
Right.
After the pilots realize their error. So it may start with, and then it's only what happens after. So it doesn't actually say what happened before then. It's, What the? Oh! Mm-hmm.
Yes. About that discussion we were having. About airline policy.
It's in time for them to cover their tracks and know that they're being recorded. Dave in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Dave.
Hey, sorry, I fell asleep there for a second.
That's all right.
I'm thinking that everybody's off base here. What it really was, it's two guys flying. They're going somewhere. They did not stop and ask for directions.
There you go. It's a joke about men and directions. Okay.
You don't need to stop for directions anymore. You got GPS.
Yes. Well, they have more than that.
Wouldn't the voice that the GPS lady have woken them up?
Sure.
Land plane. Turn left. Land plane. Turn left. Minneapolis. Hey.
Recalculating route.
Recalculating route.
Do you happen to be asleep?
Does my GPS have extra snark? Because she sounds really annoyed. Recalculating.
You can,
idiot.
Exactly. You can almost see the eye roll in your GPS. It's like, okay, I did not feel that was. Fine. Ignore me. Malcolm in Chicago is 5. Hello, Malcolm.
Hi.
What can we do for you this morning, Malcolm?
I was wondering if I could be on your show one day.
Well, you are on my show right now.
Okay. You know, you could have a plan like this.
Pardon me?
You could have a plane like this, I said.
About the plane?
What? Okay. Oh. All right, Malcolm, you did great in your first appearance. Thanks so much, honey. Bye-bye now. One day you'll grow up and be able to...
There you go.
Okay. All right. You may not survive a Northwest Airlines flight. You may or may not. However, the public option is alive. It's alive. Did I tell you? Everybody whining and gnashing of teeth for months and months. It's not dead. Why, no siree. Shano in Pittsburgh has sent us a little tribute to the public option.
The public option, the one provision of health care reform that refuses to die.
I think it's time to kill the public option. Finally, come out and do it.
Then you shall die.
Well, I think the public option is dead. It's probably been dead a long time.
I think the public option is now officially dead.
It's off. It's gone. It's dead. It's a dead parrot.
I'm not dead. But he's not dead.
He's dead.
He's alive.
The negotiations are leaning about a public option.
I have said I would pass bill. I will have a public option.
For months, it seemed that the public option was dead in the Senate. But in a dramatic development, Majority Leader Harry Reid is now pushing to include it in the bill that he will introduce in the United States Senate.
It seems like it was only a week ago that everybody in this town said that the public option was dead. Bill Kristol, what happened?
Oh, it's alive.
Wow. Even Bill Kristol says it's alive.
Thank you, Shannon. Yeah, I told them they were playing it. That was, they were trying to psych us out. We've been playing that in right-wing world for months. It's dead. It's dead. It's dead. And I'm just saying, it's not Representative Nancy Pelosi.
At the end of the day, we will have a public option in our legislation to keep the insurance companies honest and to provide real competition.
All right. However, what we've always said is, what kind of public option?
Yeah.
What sort of health care legislation will we actually get?
Will it be a trigger?
Yes. It is.
Olympia Snow has her way.
It is. Yeah, it is. That's, once again, we're... What? Why are we making this just for Olympia Snow? I don't get it. Apparently, they are close to gaining the 60 votes needed to in the Senate to pass a public option. A Senate Democrat leader said yesterday, a proposal for the public option gaining wide support that would allow states to choose not to participate in the public option, said Chuck Schumer yesterday. The opt-out proposal drawing support from many liberal and moderate senators, less opposition from lawmakers wary of government insurance. I suppose it's better than no public option, but I don't get it. So what if you happen to be unlucky enough to live in a state that opts out?
Right.
So,
lawmakers are on a public health plan.
Well, exactly. Yeah, exactly. That's my point. Can you imagine, like, if we said, okay, well, you can slavery, whatever, state by state, go ahead, whatever you... It's like, no. Senator Sherrod Brown, whom I love, Democrat of Ohio, he said, I'm fine. We'll have to talk to some Congress critters about it and get their take on it. He said, I'm fine with the state opt-out. He said, if Nebraska or Utah doesn't want to do the public option, their governor and legislature can pass a law saying we're not going to give our citizens the right to have a public option. So... Yeah, maybe. So you explain it to your citizens why they don't get the option.
You know what, though? I think I am okay with this because the states that opt out are going to see how well it is working in the states that do have it. Eventually all of the states will come
it's
aboard.
It's like the Paula Poundstone airline that we keep saying. Yeah. People on the left side of the plane are eventually going to see what the people on the right side of the plane are seeing.
Yeah,
so they'll be jealous and they'll all move to the right side of the plane.
I think I'd be okay with this.
Senate Republicans, as you know, oppose the public option in any form. Senator Mitch McChinley said it doesn't make any sense at all. In fact, I think 100% of Republicans have indicated they don't think having the government in the insurance business is a good idea. Because, as you know, the private industry has been doing such a Jim Dandy job with the whole insurance.
Your insurance is not private. It's
public. It's a public, sir.
I talked to a friend
Everyone
of mine yesterday.
What you have.
She has been rejected by, I don't know how many insurance. She's like, I cannot get health insurance. And she doesn't even have anything serious.
Yeah.
You know, she's like, I can't get health insurance. That alone has got to stop. Mm-hmm. 20 minutes after the hour, back with where we're at, what will happen tomorrow in the healthcare debate as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
It's full of witches and strange creatures of the night.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Four minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. But pardon me, I've been over here on the fainting couch getting ready for the Rude Pundit to talk dirty to me.
And you just tweeted about the Rude Pundit,
yes,
didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, go see what she said at SM Show.
I just have my little glass figurine of the Rude Pundit sitting here waiting for him to call. Jeannie.
He's not a gentleman.
Jeannie, that's the whole point.
Okay.
Jeannie in Ithaca, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jeannie.
Hi.
Hey, I was going to say that the opt-out versus the trigger. The trigger is just, you know, they're just procrastinating. It'll never, you know, they'll never trigger it. But opt-out, I think, is the lesser of the two evils because anybody who opts out will commit political suicide. And there was also somebody was talking about a similar opting out for federal highway money when it first was happening, and nobody ever opted out. But the provision is actually still in there, and nobody ever opts out. So,
yeah. Yeah. Well, okay. You know, Jay Rockefeller, who I trust on health care, he said historically, he's talking about the trigger. He said historically trigger mechanisms have not been successful. They're not a substitute for a strong public health insurance option. So, you know, So, Harry Reid, maybe he's playing rope-a-dope after all, Jim. Maybe that exterior wussy act is...
I used to be a boxer, you know.
He's, He is closing in on the 60 votes for a public option as two key moderate signal that they wouldn't stand in his way. The moves came a day after Reid presented the idea for the public plan with the opt-out to President Obama. So while Reid was on the cusp on Friday, Pelosi going in the opposite direction, concluding she didn't have the votes at this point for the most liberal plan public option in the House. She hinted to reporters that it was less important for the House to pass the most liberal version now that it appeared the Senate might be including one in its bill, because obviously the thinking had been there's not going to be any in the Senate bill.
Right.
And she was saying you got to go in with the strongest, most robust public option to negotiate. So
Teddy Roosevelt.
The sausage is getting uglier and uglier.
Teddy Roosevelt once said, speak softly and carry a big stick. I'm working on the stick part. It's coming. Just when you least expect it. Big stick.
So she said this is all about the... all about the end game now. So Reid's best hope for a Republican vote, Senator Olympia Snowe, said it would be difficult to support a public option with a state exemption. Reid may well settle on the alternative, her trigger option. During the White House meeting with Reid and Democratic leaders, Obama appeared to prefer the trigger, according to one Democratic source. An administration official disputed this account, saying the president did not express a preference. But to me, the opt-out is better than the trigger, at least, right?
Obama needs to specify a preference. Yeah. I'm sorry. That's a little wishy-washy
there.
He's
like
there.
The Spock. They're trying to read what's going on behind...
He needs to indicate his preference, please.
Eric in Madison, Wisconsin on healthcare. Hello, Eric.
Hey, Steph. How are you?
Good.
I just wanted to say, adding to Chris's point earlier, that maybe this opt-out is sort of Obama's brand of genius, whereby he's going to kind of illuminate the senators who are screwing their states, and that maybe he's trying to get them voted out in the next term election.
Could be.
Wow. Politics entering into it. Who'd have thunk?
Punditry's easy, isn't it? Yeah. You just pull something out of your ass.
Sure.
Oh, okay.
So that's why
maybe.
You go on all those shows.
Mm-hmm. Don in Monterey, California. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Don.
Good morning. Hey, I just wanted to call about this Dick Cheney, just to bring to the fact that this guy is a scared and a coward person. And if anybody, if you look at history,
he is both a coward person and a bastard person.
Well, he's got the personality of Hitler. He's very un-American.
Oh, now see, what we were doing just fine until we got
Hitler
to the Nazi.
Hitler was a much better speaker.
And I'll tell you why I can't put up with you people, because you're bastard people.
Come on, that's it for the Nazi analogies. Come on. 28, I want you to march in lockstep on that. Oh, there I go. 28 minutes after the hour, Rude Pundit next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I am an A-list celebrity, and I will prove it to you. Hey, you. Who am I?
Four vodka martinis, no olives.
33 minutes after the hour, the Dow is up 31 points. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Oh, it must be him.
Lee Bobbitt, the Rude Pundit. Pundit.
Who's my papa? Good morning, papa.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
Good. We must be on the same wavelength, because right now on my Facebook page, there's some crazy fan fiction going on the chat there.
I just, it's my slutty reputation. They think that I have sex with every guest I have on the show, which is, okay, kind of true.
The
but,
thing is, no,
a little bit.
You have 3 hours to fill.
Listen, exactly.
The thing is, Rude, when the most responses she gets to any of her tweets are the ones where she's being slutty.
Yeah.
So
Chris is back here encouraging me to be sluttier. Okay.
Chris needs to try to be slutty on his tweets and see what happens.
Okay, I'll work on that.
All right. You know, I always love the photos that you post on the Rude Pundit. This and today's is photos that make the make Christian conservative brains short out. It's Barack Obama, of course, the first American president to publicly celebrate the Hindu holiday of Diwali, which is my personal favorite. But you talk about the reaction from the nutsoid right.
Yeah, I belong to the Family Research Council has this this prayer team. I call them we're the super duper prayer team.
Yes.
We're like the super friends of praying, and they send every week. I get this thing from them telling me what to pray for, and it mentioned in the most recent one to pray because Obama celebrated Diwali in the White House, and
yes.
And just said the wonderful, this wonderful, may God open, this is our what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to get on our knees and pray to God.
And then
God,
call Dr. Bombay.
Yes, yes. Yes. And say, please, please stop Obama from honoring foreign gods and promoting other religions.
And let me get my finger on my button, as I often do when you're on the phone with me. You write, oh, mother, here we thought he was Muslim. See, it's hard to keep up with what the president is now. Now,
yeah, he's all over the place. You know, when's the Wiccan party going to happen?
And, of course, one of my personal favorite posts, why Ann Coulter is a C-word, part 45,307.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just sad seeing her now. You know, it's really got this kind of Norma Desmond-esque quality to it.
Because she's been reduced to re-arguing the Willie Horton ad, apparently.
Her last column, it's mind-boggling. She spends half the column re-arguing the Willie Horton ad from 1988, and she gets it wrong. she's talking about the wrong ad, and I just think at some point, you know, you have to start reading the news today.
Yes. Well, you point out that Coulter is at this point is just a twig-shaped dildo specifically designed to fit Sean Hannity's.
Oh.
Which
oh.
Well, it's descriptive, I think.
Yeah.
That's true. She's very.
And when she's on, it looks like he's having his prostate tickled. So.
But I love this part. Reading her columns these days.
She.
Now she's been out bat. By Glenn Beck and out-babed by Sarah Palin is not unlike listening to a toothless man meth-addicted woman at a bar tell you how hot she used to be and won't you please suck her for a dollar. I understand what you're saying. There's a desperation about her these days.
Yeah, well, you know, her book sales are down. She's in about, and this is actually, I'm not making this up. I think she's only in like 3 newspapers anymore. I talked to somebody at her syndicate once, and
right.
I was like, no, the dirty secret is nobody publishes her.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was saying, I from my personal experience, Lee, I was, when I hosted Equal Time back on CNBC, I was saying she was just one of many of the blonde Republican pundit girls, and she made a calculated decision, like, oh, I have to get crazier to
yeah.
sell books. But you're right, isn't that what's happening on the right now? It's just a crazy off. Now they all hate Glenn Beck because he figured out how to be crazier
oh, yeah.
than Bill
yeah.
O'Reilly and Sean Hannity, so...
Yeah, it's a poop fight in the monkey house. It's not going to end well, and everybody's going to stink at the end.
They already do.
I mean, yeah. You know, and then there was, I think it was Rush Limbaugh, wasn't he on the Today Show the other day, taking credit for Glenn Beck's success?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, Glenn Beck does look like Frankenstein's monster, doesn't he?
It's true, he just needs the bolts on his neck.
Yeah. Paint him green and send him out into the village, make him avoid fire.
And there's, you write about dear old Pat Buchanan, who looks almost sane in comparison, but you write, while one should not advocate kicking an old man in the neither should one advocate not kicking an old man in the especially when that old man is Pat Buchanan. And I'm not sure what set this off recently, but you said, what does a sad, racist, self-aggrandizing, abettor of criminals get to spout off constantly and then get treated like some beloved elder statesman or a charming curmudgeon with candy in his pockets?
which is a frightening image, actually. You know, tap your cannon saying, come on, I got candy in my pockets. Reach in and get it.
And I didn't actually catch that last column, although I did catch the column where he said the black people should thank us for the nice boat ride to America. But
yeah.
You said he's written a column where he says more or less America would be a dandy place if all these N-words and immigrants weren't up for us old white people.
Oh, yeah. He says, I mean, he says in the column that liberals, neither they nor, he's talking about the anger among white working class people, saying they watch on cable TV as illegal aliens walk into their country and are rewarded with free education and health care and take jobs at lower, as if there's some kind of, this is some kind of nirvana for illegal immigrants here.
Yeah.
Then carry Mexican flags in American cities and demand U.S. citizenship, and then says about white working class people, neither they nor their kids ever benefited from affirmative action, unlike Barack and Michelle Obama.
Yeah,
because I believe that when the election happened, he got more votes because they gave him more because he was an affirmative action candidate.
You know, but you make a good point that we on the left were all a titter because we're like, oh my God, he agrees with us on the Iraq War. Like, yes, Al Qaeda doesn't hate us for our freedom. They hate us for our policies. We're like, yes, go, Pat, yes.
Yeah.
And then we're like, oh, my God, I'm agreeing with that.
Yeah.
And then you forget. Like, you know, you go back to his old speech at the convention, the pitchfork army, whatever. And you're like,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
And he should forever be blamed for running for president in 2000 and thus causing old people in Florida to accidentally vote for him.
Yeah, which he got a big chuckle out of.
Yeah.
Yeah, and got us ears of George Bush. Thanks a lot.
Man, I fooled those old Jews.
Imagine the laughter around the Buchanan family dinner table about that.
Yeah.
Now, healthcare, obviously, we're getting to go time here. I guess tomorrow, right? We're going to probably have some decisions on what's going to happen, right, in the Senate and the House.
Yeah, I'm loving this opt-out thing, though. I love how Darwinian it is. It's like, all right, let's let those states die off. And then only the strong states will survive.
I know in our thought bubble we're like, oh, all right, maybe all the southern racist states. Bye bye.
All right. Take care now. Bye bye.
I just wonder, you know, what kind of mad fellatio skills must Olympia Snow have?
I mean, oh my
rude
God.
Louise pundit.
I just think that Obama, you know, maybe Max Baucus told Obama, you know, Olympia, if you go let her have her way, I'm just saying. And every once in a while, he gets a phone call from Obama, gets a phone call when he's maybe thinking of giving in on a public option. She says, I bought knee pads and chapstick. It's coming.
That is really so wrong. And something that you did not hear anywhere else this morning, that Olympia Snow has mad fellatio skills. All right.
I really got an image in my head that I'm going to need steel wool to scrub out of there.
Mm-hmm.
I hope
Thanks
she has a bag with a hole in it.
You know, I think it's her natural hunch. It's sort of, never mind.
Yeah, but I still don't get it, Rude. Like, why are we, just to get one Republican vote, maybe? I don't get it. Why we're
I don't know what kind of cover that provides. The thought is that what it ends up doing is it props up moderate and conservative Democrats. They can say, well, look, one Republican voted for it. We're Democrats and we voted for it. But this whole, I mean, the aggravating thing is this whole thing about the 60 votes is not about voting for the bill. It's about allowing the bill to be voted on. And the idea that a Democrat would not allow a Democratic bill to be even voted on, I mean, vote against it when it comes up.
Right.
That's when we need, after the cloture vote, then we need just 51 votes.
Right. Yep.
This whole 60 vote thing has sort of, it's transformed in people's heads from what it is. I think Republicans did that successfully back in the, during the Bush administration.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. All right. I'm going to guess if you Google today Olympia Snow and mad fellatio skills, it will only have appeared on the Stephanie Miller program.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
that's
I'll
the kind of punditry
little,
we like.
I'll get a little more graphic about it on my blog.
Oh, thank God.
Yay.
And where's that blog again? Where might I find that?
You might find that at rudepundit.blogspot.com.
Why, thank you,
that
Papa.
Was skillful.
You did it right on the card.
Oh, sorry.
All right. Thank you, Lee. See you next week. Love you.
Mad
miss you.
Promotional stuff.
Miss you already. Okay, bye-bye.
pundit
I don't have Olympian
Snow's
skills, so I must stumble along. 43 minutes after
you
the
You need
hour.
To work on those skills, Stephanie.
I'll do that during
years.
I'll do it. I'll do that during the commercial break and Jim's review next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God. That's like my favorite show ever.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Minutes after the hour, Dow is up 78 points. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Lavender Pitt, the official World of Derby Queen of the Stephanie Miller Show in Tucson. Hello, Lavender.
Good morning, Mama.
Good morning, baby.
Luke. Mm-hmm. So I'm listening to the rude pundit, who is, of course, shockingly rude.
Yes.
And he's talking about Darwinism and the opt-out state option for the public option thing.
Yes.
Thingy.
And just what I love, Lavender, like the public option isn't confusing enough to people. Let's find ways to make it even more confusing.
Yes, please. But I was thinking about the Darwinism comment. Let's look at it this way. It's not just that the states will quote-unquote die off, but the politicians who opt out will, because let's face it, with all the public support that the public option is getting, those people won't be in office
very
for very
long. Very true, Lavender.
Yep.
So yes, let's have an opt-out so that we can throw the bums out.
Yeah, exactly. Let those legislators go, I want to protect the insurance company.
Up against socialism.
I will tell you a story about the rabbits again. Oh, all my constituents died. Okay. All right. Speaker Pelosi denied reports Friday that she has given up on the most robust version of the public option, but she's clearly in a bargaining mood. Part of it, she said, is the end game of conference. She said, I really think it's really important to note this. The atmosphere has changed. And what she refers to, as I said earlier, is that, Harry Reid seems to be obviously gaining ground and getting some form of a public option. She said, when we were dealing with the idea the Senate would have nothing, it was really important to go with the most muscle for the middle class with a robust public option. Now it's about the end game. Valerie Jarrett, senior White House advisor. Yes.
There's a lot of chatter and swirl in the air, and our job is to just be honest and candid. Of course, we're interested in hearing suggestions. What I think we're saying is that we're not going to allow the distortions and the rhetoric to get in the way of finally delivering health care reform for the American people.
You know who I would like to see the boner debate is Representative Wiener. Because, first of all,
boner
it's
funny. Wiener.
But also because the Wiener would win.
Yes.
I love him. I've been seeing him all over the TV machine on healthcare. He was the one that said we should get rid of Medicare.
Yeah.
See who would vote for it. Say, look, if you're not for a public option. We need to, put your money where your mouth is.
Right.
Representative Anthony Weiner's Democrat of New York. His office released an internal study showing 151 members of Congress currently receive government-funded, government-administered, single-payer health care, Medicare. Of those 151 members, 55 are Republicans who also happen to be steadfastly opposed to other Americans getting the public option like the one that they have chosen. He said they're already getting the same type of public option that we'd like people out there without insurance to be able to get. And I guess the purpose of this list was to kind of point out some of the hypocrisy in the debate. He said even in a town known for hypocrisy, this list of 55 members of Congress deserves some sort of prize. They apparently think the public option is okay for them, but not everybody else. Go, Wiener. It's not a good argument. They ought to keep driving that home. I know it's been said before, but it's just, it really is like a how dare you moment.
Yeah.
Like, how dare you tell me I can't have what you have? Give yours up then, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I don't know, there's some more healthcare Weasley breaking news this morning.
Uh-oh.
Businesses would not be required to provide health insurance under legislation being ready for Senate debate, but large firms would owe significant penalties if any worker needed government subsidies to buy coverage, according to Democratic official familiar with talks.
I saw that this morning.
The Senate's likely to cut employer mandate now.
Yeah. But would fine large companies that didn't provide enough health insurance.
This may become the watered-down gruel that we had feared. It's like, yes, there's a public option, but it's sort of a different, it's a public option-like substance with a no. Is there a mandate?
Computer says
no, but there's an employer mandate type thing with subsidies and stuff that's, you know.
It's kind of like American cheese. It's pasteurized processed cheese food.
Substance.
Yeah.
Oliver in Flagstaff, Arizona. Hello, Oliver.
Hello. Hey, I just, you know, we talk a lot about what the pundits are saying, the crazy stuff they're saying, but the crazy stuff you hear on the street is what's really scary.
Uh-huh.
Can I just tell you what I heard in a gas station the other night?
Oh, please.
Okay, so I'm in northern Arizona on the Utah border, and I'm just chatting with this guy, and he starts complaining about the price of his donut at the gas station, and he looks at me and says, well, you got to get whatever you can when you've got a N-word president. And he didn't say N-word.
What's N-word? Oh, N-word.
Word.
N-word, yeah. He didn't,
wow.
He didn't say N-word. He said the actual word, and he said it very clearly. And we're all just kind of standing there, me and some Navajos, and we're just kind of standing there staring at him like, what planet are you on?
Wow.
Wow. It's that, you know, they give you that, hey, it's just among us white people kind of thing, right? Wink, wink.
Right, and I'm sitting there. I work for the Navajo Nation. I have a Navajo emblem on my outfit.
Yeah.
And I guess he's presuming because I'm blue-eyed. I wouldn't mind him saying that. But it's like he walks out. We all just kind of all the Navajos and me just kind of look at each other kind of shocked. It's like, what century is that guy living in?
Yep. Oh, my God.
Yep, I know. It's not just, you know, the amazing people say that kind of stuff, but they think the other people are kind of okay with that.
Well, especially if he's standing there with a bunch of Navajos.
Mm.
Good Lord.
Mm. My old, I think I told you this story, my old New York landlady many, many years ago.
Kay Rooney.
Yeah. Shush! Don't say it.
You've said it before.
She was a little free with the N-word. Yeah, and I'll never forget, she said that to a friend of mine. She goes, you know, Steffi plays basketball with the N-words. And my friend was like,
oh, my God.
She's like, what? She does play basketball. No, that wasn't the part that we were. She's like, what? I'm like, not, okay, never mind.
Wait a minute, you had enough coordination to play basketball?
Yes.
Really?
There was a basketball court right across the street. Mama played a little round ball in her day. I was first team all Catholic. DeSales Catholic High School in class of 19.
I've seen you run on the treadmill, though.
Yeah,
I was good.
You can't do that.
My hook shot is still feared in the Catholic League. All right,
shush. You played pickup basketball with the neighborhood folk.
I did.
Indeed, wow.
I did. Mm-hmm. Robin,
wow.
In Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Yeah, I was standing next to a bunch of Republican parents waiting for our kids to get their H1N1 vaccinations. And they ran out of them right after my child had her vaccination. And they were complaining about how horrible socialized medicine was prior to the run out of the vaccination. And now they are complaining about the fact that their children are not being taken care of. And what's wrong with this country?
All right, honey. Thank you. All right, fine American, it's only former Republicans that apparently are talking any sense, though.
Mm-hmm.
Former Republican Senator Chuck Hagel criticized the Republican Party's approach to the health care debate during a recent speech. He chided his former Republican colleagues for using the health care debate to destroy the other party rather than engage in thoughtful conversation. He also said that such an approach is irresponsible. He said, if your attitude is wrong, if your intention is to use health care to destroy the other party, destroy the presidency of Barack Obama, it's very unlikely you're going to find much consensus from people who want to use health care. He said, as some Republican senators have said publicly, if we kill Obama on this and we destroy this and we defeat this, that will drive a stake through his political heart on this administration. He said, I just find it about as irresponsible a thing as I can think of. Senator Chuck Hagel, former Republican senator. They're all gone. All the decent ones gone. Gone.
All right. Mm-hmm. Take care now. Bye-bye then.
Oh, speaking of which, the leader of the Republican Party, Rush Limbaugh.
Oh, yes.
Did you see he got punked?
Yes, he did. Oh, God, this is funny.
Yeah, he got punked big time. It's odd. He didn't. His team of researchers didn't vet this properly. We'll tell you what happened with that in a more right-wing world with Eric Bollert of Media Matters next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
After the hour, the Dow is up 90 points. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. New pictures, live blog. You can tweet me at SM Show. That's my tweet handle, as the kids say.
Yeah, Stephanie Miller was taken.
Yeah.
Sorry.
1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, you know, it's so hard being me, being right all the time.
Why?
Well, because I think, as I've explained before, about John Boehner's name. That is why it is the Boehner. Listener John is the director of audio vision reading service for the blind.
Oh, yes.
And this explains how to pronounce things.
John Boehner.
See?
John Boehner.
Just saying. That's his name.
John Boehner.
Mm-hmm. Well, if that's how they say it, then that's it.
John Boehner.
I don't think there's a D in Boehner.
John right. Boehner.
Thank you.
I feel like there's a D in there somewhere.
All right. All right.
Maybe the emulating computer thing has a cold. I think that's what it is.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
John Boehner.
All right. Can I have some comedy music? Did you hear about this? Rush Limbaugh got punked. Wow. It's hard to believe anything slipped past his journalistic... It must have seemed so perfect. An obscure blogger unearths some pages of President Obama's college thesis. The report supposedly comes from a big-time journalist, Joe Klein of Time Magazine. And the thesis has some real gems, like Obama's disdain for the Constitution. The whole thing, nothing more than a satirical post on a humor blog, but Rush Limbaugh, who quoted from the thesis on his radio show, wasn't laughing. The post was meant as a joke, which it claimed that Joe Klein had gotten his hands on 10 pages of student Obama's college thesis. Limbaugh jumped on it, which immediately sparked web searches on Obama thesis. Limbaugh discovered halfway through his show, oh no, that he'd been had, but defended himself by basically saying the thesis felt true. It had a truthiness to it, as Stephen Colbert would say. So that's good enough for right-wing world.
Just like those racist comments, two of which turned out to be fake, but they sounded just like the real ones.
Yes, and that's how I defended myself. A lifetime of racist comments, most of which I had the audio for. A couple of them felt true. Sorry, yeah. You didn't get to buy an NFL team. All right. If only someone did this for a living, documented the right-wing world. Why, it's Eric Bollert of Media Matters for America. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning.
It's amazing Rush would fall for something like that, isn't it?
Well, it's amazing because, you know, as you mentioned, the NFL, his fiasco, his crash and burn there after the NFL told him to get lost, there was this massive pity party in the right-wing media about these two quotes. And how could anyone peddle fabricated quotes? And a week later, Limbaugh, basically, who does it for a living, decided to do it again. And as you mentioned, even after he found out they were likely bogus, he kept spreading them.
Yeah.
So it's I'm waiting for all those folks on the right wing to now demand that Rush Limbaugh apologize for hyping fabricated quotes. But so far,
Eric, we made the point that actually one of the best places in the country is Media Matters for America, which has very strict standards.
Right.
So if you saw it there, you know it's true, meaning that you only post actual audio or video of what people have said, which is why you are a left-wing smear machine.
That's
according
right. We tend not to go for the faux obscure blogger humor sites, but other people have different sources. So.
All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, shall we? Representative Dan Lundgren, Republican of California, on the White House war on Fox.
What else have they told us to forget about? Oh, that's right. Fox News doesn't exist.
Mm.
August doesn't exist. Fox News doesn't exist. Maybe next month we'll hear that the American people don't exist, and we're just here creating a make-believe America with make-believe problems and make-believe solutions.
Wow, hyperbole much? I don't think the White House said Fox News doesn't exist, did they,
no.
Eric? They simply said they're just not a news organization.
Yeah, not a legitimate news organization, which apparently has sent the entire Beltway into a panic, both the Republican Party and the Beltway Press, which has spent all last week astonishingly defending Fox News. Jake Tapper was at a White House press briefing, and he demanded to know what the difference was between ABC News and Fox News. He couldn't figure it out, and he announced it was inappropriate for the White House to have an opinion about Fox News. So it's interesting. There's lots of different narratives here. One is, you know, the White House is bullying, the White House is censoring, the White House is trampling over Fox News. It's very interesting, and the conservatives are saying that, and so are the Beltway pundits. It's this very interesting free speech idea, which is now that politicians cannot criticize the press. Which is a very new idea. I did not know that. But by simply criticizing the press and calling out Fox News as illegitimate, the White House has apparently stepped over all kinds of boundaries that I didn't know existed. Well, the other interesting thing is, of course, Peter King, Republican, went on Fox many times and demanded a prosecution of the New York Times during the Bush years.
Yeah. Well, and that's the hilarious difference, Eric. Hilarious difference is in the Bush years, not only did they freeze out NBC News and the New York Times. I mean, they didn't just criticize them. They froze them out. The Obama White House is saying, we're not saying we're not going to go on. The president's not going to go back on. We're not going to put people on. We're just saying we realize we're debating the opposition, period.
Yeah.
How's that targeting them?
Right, and 70 members of the Republican Party signed a letter in the House demanding that certain press credentials be withdrawn. I mean, that is an attack on the press. That is trying to use, you know, the powers of the government. The other, you know, this analogy that's driving me crazy, and the right wing's doing, and the pundits are doing. This is an enemies list. This is just like Nixon.
Yeah,
you
know?
So now, if you criticize the press, like the Obama White House has, you're just like Richard Nixon, which used the IRS, the Immigration Services, and the FBI to investigate private citizens. They're exactly the same thing, which is
Yeah, I love Eric Cantor said the White House strategy of targeting Fox News is not the American way. He said, when you have the White House focusing on one news outlet, it's a little strange. We believe in free press and freedom of speech in this country. What the hell does that have to do with that?
Well, and of
nobody's
course,
trying to shut Fox News down.
Of course, press bashing has been the cornerstone of the conservative movement in this country for four decades. And suddenly, when a Democrat criticizes the press, you know, the right wing is suddenly, you know, shows
right.
up. You know, is really just interested in defending the First Amendment. I mean, it's
a hypocrisy. Eric Cantor went on to say, why would the White House choose to go after its critics instead of trying to bring people together? You know, like Fox News and the Republicans do.
Right.
You know, they're all about unifying, you see.
I know.
Why can't the president be more like that?
It's not just Cantor. I mean, if, you know, read Clarence Page's Chicago Tribune column today. I mean, everyone who wants access, you know, that golden key conventional wisdom beltway access, everyone has written the exact same columns. I mean, they literally write themselves.
Yep.
The White House is petty. The White House should ignore the blatant falsehoods. The White House is going to boost Fox News' ratings, even though Fox News' ratings are stagnant for the last 2 weeks. And the other one that, well, this is Obama's fault because he said he was going to bring everyone together. I don't think when Obama was running for president or was being inaugurated, he really knew that Fox News was going to sponsor political rallies.
Right.
Right.
Was going to call him a Nazi and a communist and a fascist on a daily basis.
Right. Yeah, I love this. Cantor went on to say, I'm sure all of us have some sensitivity anytime you're confronted with an adversary or an individual organization who doesn't necessarily agree with you on a given issue. They disagree with him on every issue, including on whether he was born here. I mean, it's like, and then he goes on to say, we've got kids on the ground in Afghanistan. We ought to be worried about that, not see a White House going after Fox News. Well, on Fox News, they're criticizing what he's doing on Afghanistan because he's thinking through the strategy. I mean, it's hilarious.
It is, and it's painful to watch. And again, I mean, this is the conservative movement that wanted the federal government to prosecute the New York Times for its reporting.
Yep.
So, I mean, when the Republicans wage war against the press, it's patriotic and necessary. And when Democrats do it, it's shallow and petty.
Yep. Bill O'Reilly on this very
subject. Whole thing is embarrassing. The president of the United States trying to decertify a news organization? I don't think that's ever happened in America. Reports say White House Chief of Staff Rahm Emanuel is behind the anti-Fox movement. We have not been able to confirm that, but who's ever doing it needs to wise up.
Or else.
Or else.
Yeah.
Webb is calling me a bully, better shut up or I'm going to hit you.
Bill O'Reilly can't confirm that people are going on TV and saying these things. It's all very mysterious to Bill O'Reilly. All he has to do is turn on the television and and he can watch Rahm Emanuel and Anita Dunn talk about these things. But decertify, I love that. So now there's some sort of national organization that certifies journalists. There's some sort of federal bureaucracy that hands out these licenses for journalists.
Yes, the president has taken away their certificate. So there. O'Reilly. O'Reilly again.
The White House does not like the fact that FNC dominates cable news and often sets the agenda for what other news agencies are covering. The Acorn story shocked the Obama administration. So did the Tea Party coverage. The president doesn't like it. But enough is enough. Come on, Mr. President. You have better things to do than continue this petty feud. You, Mr. Emanuel, Mr. Axelrod, Mr. Gibbs, even the White House chef are all welcome on The Factor anytime. You got a beef? Let us hear it.
Well, I think they have let them hurt. You know, if he's not listening, they have let him know what the beef is. And so, you know, the only people obsessed with this are Fox News.
Right. Oh, I know. That first clip we played, they're trying to tell us August didn't exist. Well, according to the polls, it didn't. You know, support for health care and the public option is completely unchanged, despite all of this Fox-sponsored anger.
Right. And you know, it's Fox that will not stop talking about itself. I mean, you know, the ingrained sense of victimhood in the conservative movement is just impenetrable, and this is a perfect example. I mean, we've had, you know, Laura Ingraham over the weekend was talking about, you know, gee, if the White House was as concerned about Fox News as they are about Al-Qaeda, you know, like there's, like the White House sending, you know, two or three people out over two weekends to make a couple passing comments about Fox News somehow means the White House, you know, isn't doing anything else.
No.
The only people that are fixated on it completely are just Fox News. I mean, they just don't let it go.
Ann Coulter, who Rude Pundit told us last hour, has become the Norma Desmond of right-wing world.
You have the whole media just drooling over this guy, hoping he'll look at them and, oh, he's so cool, he's so cool. Meanwhile, you know, poor little Sarah Palin is being treated like she's, you know, Richard Nixon and Judge Bork combined. I'd say Muhammad Atta, but liberals don't really mind Muhammad Atta. Viciously going after Sarah Palin while Obama is treated like the Messiah. And he wins the Nobel Prize for doing, you know, what was that again? What has he done? We posed for the family portrait today.
Wow. She's got some current references in there, huh?
Well, I guess. I mean, what has the press done to Sarah Palin other than hype her book, which is going to make her a boatload of money? I mean, and this idea that the press... I mean, just look at the Fox News coverage. I mean, the press, as we've talked about, is just relentlessly defending Fox. I mean, this is the problem with this comical liberal media. You know, they just, you know, the right wing beats the press up for being, you know, so liberal, and the press just time and again, you know, shows that it's not. And here we have the entire Beltway community, you know, attacking the White House for going after Fox News, and there's Ann Coulter, you know, dragging out this old talking about how the press is so liberal.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, there's a complete disconnect, and there always has been.
It feels musty, Norma Desmond. Eric Boulder, can you stand by for a moment?
Sure.
All right. We will finish up with a little bit of right-wing world. I need to give him a break before I beck him.
Oh, yeah. We got Glenn Beck.
Oh.
We got some Beck.
You gotta have a little rest before with the crazy. 20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
And we'll be right back.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Look, here he is in the sidecar, Eric Boulder from Media Matters for America. Put your goggles on, Eric. We're going into the crazy vortex of Glenn Beck. Here we go.
You know, we're the only group of people that are telling the truth, at least the truth as we understand it. We're the only ones that the American people don't sit back and go, do they think we believe that? I mean, we're the only ones that are at least, I think, trying to be unafraid and tell the news as we see it and as we understand it.
Wow. Isn't he the one that's crying almost every night that he's really afraid of something?
Unafraid, right?
Vaccine, something else, I don't know.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I mean, last week it was OnStar.
Yeah, I'm like going, what? He's
channeling Dwight Schrute.
Yes, exactly.
That's the only place you can get the truth. You see that, Eric? All right.
Yeah, I mean, but just the point is, I mean, his show is built on fear and conspiracy and paranoia and fear mongering. So, yeah, there's it's a little odd for Glenn to claim that he's the clear headed one in the crowd.
He's trying to be brave, as any man who cries daily is. All right, Charles Krauthammer on the Brit Fair.
Agonizing in public, leaving allies hanging, as we saw in the NATO meeting today, where all the others are waiting to hear what the United States is going to do, leaving the Afghans hanging, leaving everybody in Pakistan hanging on this, as the president thinks is a mistake.
Yeah, they kind of like the rushing in to war strategy without any forethought at all. By the way, did you hear, you know, Dick Cheney's comments, Eric? Did you hear, he talked about, oh, we handed them this brilliant plan. So John Podesta, I think, over the weekend said apparently he has it on good authority. They spent an hour on the plan they handed to Obama.
Yeah. Okay. they had this guaranteed fix it for Afghanistan.
Yeah.
Joe Scarborough had a good line this morning about, you know, if the Bush folks had thought a little longer, maybe we wouldn't have gone into Iraq. Mm-hmm. So there is something to be said for taking a more measured a measured approach for foreign policy, you know, monumental foreign policy decisions like, you know, what you're going to do with Afghanistan. But, I mean, of Krauthammer, of all the people, I mean, you know, if anything, you know, if any crew of people should have been automatically disqualified from opining about foreign policy, it's, of course, the Hawks and but, you know,
yeah, exactly.
They have no shame and they always have a platform at Fox News.
Yeah, what do you think we should do, Bill Kristol? You've been wrong about virtually everything ever. Charles Krauthammer, also apparently a noted economist now.
You can only conclude that the stimulus is a bust.
Oh.
There's no other conclusion. If it didn't have its effect this year, it's not going to have an effect next year, then it had no effect, and we wasted $1 trillion.
So we just give up.
I guess so. Well, there you go, Eric Bullard.
Well, yeah, well, you know, I mean, the fact that that money is going, the consequences of that. Well, hey, most of the money hasn't been spent yet.
Right.
So I don't know how you would see the dividends of spending that hasn't happened yet. But the idea that it would be, you know, there would be these glaring headlines, you know, 4 months later. I mean, I think I don't know if he's just playing dumb or is dumb, but
either way,
that's sort of the Fox. The standard, the right-wing standard, that the whole thing is a bust. Peggy Noonan wrote this very, you know, Wall Street Journal, she was talking about the American economy and the country is rubble, you know, and this is Obama's rubble and he's inherited. It's almost like folks like Peggy and Charles, I mean, they want higher unemployment. They want, you know, Afghanistan to fail. It's this very weird sort of defeatist and dour view of America all of a sudden when there's a Democratic president.
I know. It really is. It's very, and so we now once again can ask, why do you hate America so much, Peggy Noonan? All right. Eric Bollert, Media Matters for America, who they love America. It's right in the name.
It's right in the name.
There That's you
right.
go. Eric Bollert, thank you, sir. See you next time.
All right. Bye-bye.
There he goes. Eric Bollert, MediaMatters.org. They're for America, you know, Chris.
They are for America. Fox News, not for America.
All right. You know, speaking of the right-wing world, I sense a tad bit of Glenn Beck jealousness among other right-wing crazies. Don't you, Chris?
Yes.
Like the Savage Wiener, for instance.
Uh-oh. Oh, boy.
And also the well-known panty-waist Lindsey Graham.
Oh, boy.
Yes, we'll be back with all of that as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Look, you're a beautiful woman. In fact, you're probably one of those beautiful women who doesn't even know it.
No, I know it.
33 minutes after the hour, Dow is up 90 points. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. John, my right-wing love muffin in Atlanta. Hi, John.
Hey, Stephanie, I got a question for you.
Yes.
And not that I totally oppose government health care and everything, because I'm having to use it being in the Army, but my question is this. And it's a big question, complicated answer. Where does government's responsibility end and personal responsibility begin on this health care issue?
What does that mean exactly?
Well, all right. Where What is the consequences, you know, for me living an unhealthy lifestyle and making you fit the bill, like smoking two packs of cigarettes a day and getting lung cancer? And, you know,
you do that anyway with private health care.
Yeah.
You pay for everybody else's bad lifestyle. You do it with private health care as well.
Yeah, I mean,
the rates go up.
Right.
Right. So we're living with that now. What would be the difference?
I mean, the thing I'm getting at is if healthcare is just supposed to be free, and I'm not
healthcare. Nobody said healthcare is supposed to be free.
Okay. I might have been confused while I was listening to some of the stuff.
Anyway, all right. Yeah, yes, John, you need to stop listening to Glenn Beck. All right.
And keep listening to the Stephanie Miller show. You'll get the truth here.
And personal responsibility is all well and good, but what if you quit smoking 20 years ago and still get lung cancer? Is that being irresponsible?
Yes. There you go. Oh.
Yeah, what if your cholesterol is perfect and you still have a heart attack?
All right. Then you don't get to play in any of our reindeer games. That's what happens. Okay. I think we've mentioned this before, that I think, Jim, there's some jealousy sprouting up in the right-wing crazies. Because everybody, Glenn Beck has really, you have to give it to him, he has out-crazied everybody at this point. When you thought nobody was going to, you know, be able to get above the Ann Coulter bar, no, it's just the Bill O'Reilly crazy bar. And he's done it. Glenn Beck, good job.
Michael Savage. Even Michael Savage thinks he's a nut.
Yeah.
Yeah, now that's when you know you're a nut. Michael Savage is like, that guy's unbalanced.
He's the Fox equivalent of a circus freak show. And that's why he gets the ratings, because he's crazy.
He's the bearded lady and the midget.
Yeah, Savage Wiener said, I'm not impressed by him. I've seen the act before. I'm not for him or against him. He does a reasonably good job copying people who are brighter than him. Who have done their work before him and taking as many ideas from as many people as he can without giving anyone credit. Savage is like, I did that first, crazy. I'm crazier than anybody. I'm crazier than house rat. What the... I get that. There's nothing new about that either. But my prediction is he's got a bit put in his mouth very, very fast, or he's going to be fired.
Mark Levin, I think.
Yes, last month Mark Levin called Beck mindless, incoherent, and pathetic.
Yes.
A bunch of right-wing man fights. And you know why that is? Because I bet his friend Sean Hannity hates him because he's jealous. Ha ha!
Getting more attention than I am.
Yeah, I wonder how long it's going to be before, because Glenn Beck is not in prime time on Fox News.
Right.
I wonder how long it's going to be before Hannity gets replaced by Glenn Beck.
He must wake up in cold sweats.
Yeah.
So now Glenn Beck has escalated his feud with Senator Lindsey Graham. Graham, you know, previously dismissed Beck as an entertainer who was aligned with cynicism. Only in America can you make that much money crying, Graham said. When Beck responded by saying Graham's criticism was the highest honor he's ever received, Graham reiterated his view that Beck doesn't represent the Republican Party. Oh, you just gotta sit back and buy some popcorn for these right-wing man fights. Last week, Beck opened his show with a diatribe against Graham. He's castigated him for saying that we're not going to be a party of angry white guys. You got to ask yourself, is the problem the angry white guys, or is it the Obama-lite guys?
And then he did some.
Yeah, he's calling up. Yeah.
With a Coke can.
He's calling
a monkey.
Yes, he likened Lindsey Graham to Diet Coke instead of real Coke or a non-alcoholic version of beer. He said, I'm drinking alcohol for the buzz. Isn't he a former drunk?
I thought he was a Mormon.
Yeah, he's a current Mormon, so he wouldn't be drinking Coke.
Explaining to me, most consumers want the real thing and not a fake substitute. He said, I think I'm going to stick with the angry people over here. That's what Glenn Beck said. We have the rest of it.
You know, I'm getting pretty fed up with people like Lindsey Graham saying I don't represent the Republican Party. First of all, Graham, love your crackers and the work you did with Fleetwood Mac, but as far as politics goes, you and I are done professionally. Ah-de-da-de-da. You and Spector and Pawlenty and McCain can kiss my grits because you're nothing but Obama-like. There, I said it. You're all light-skinned socialist Negroes trying to shove Nazi health care down our throats. Well, thanks, but no thanks. You can't force me to drink new Coke. Look, see? Yummy original Coke. No, forget the Coke. You're like near beer. Why not have the real thing? I may be Mormon, but I drink to get drunk. And I'm only eating Colonel Sanders' original recipe. What's this grilled crap? Get off my plate! I'm sticking with the angry people. I am an angry people. You know why? Because you're bastard people, and I hate your ass face. Let me finish. Get off my face!
You will be done. You're also passive and glib. Thanks for the gumball, Mickey, and the 8-Vagoda Pez dispenser. Get off my couch! Get off my couch! Oh, I'll show you mindless, incoherent, pathetic Mark Levin. Balls!
He's stealing from everybody's crazy. Yes. Tom Cruise and Oily Taint.
Fugitive from the planet Zorak.
All the right wingers are like, that's my crazy. I did that first.
Hey!
He stole my crazy. Hey, by the way, you know, it's hard to keep track of all the between the birthers and the, have you heard of the Tenthers?
Yes.
This is a new breed of right-wing crazy. What is this about exactly, Chris? Explain.
It's about the 10th Amendment.
God.
What particular phrase did they latch onto in the...
the states, I don't know, something about states' rights versus federal rights.
Something that's crazy.
I wish I had the Constitution in front of me, but I don't.
Yes, right-wing press outlet CNS News asked House Speaker Nancy Pelosi whether health care reform violates the 10th Amendment of the Constitution. Madam Speaker, where specifically does the Constitution grant Congress the authority to enact an individual health insurance mandate? Pelosi goes, are you serious? Are you serious? That's kind of it's a right-wing fringy theory.
It is. Yeah.
Which has no basis in the Constitution itself. Article 1 of the Constitution gives Congress the power to regulate commerce among the several states, as well as the authority to make all laws which shall be necessary and proper for carrying into execution its power to regulate commerce.
Pretty broad power there.
When confronted with the Tenther question, House Minority Leader the Boner offered... by the way, someone did send us the Audiovision Reading Service for the Blind correct pronunciation, just proving Mama's point once again.
John Boner.
Thank you. I'm sorry, say again?
John Boner.
Thank you. When confronted with the Tenther question, Boner offered an entirely...
John Boner.
Offered an entirely novel argument against the individual mandate. Although Boner admitted...
John Boner.
Admitted he is not a constitutional lawyer, he added, it's wrong to mandate that the American people have to do anything.
What?
For the record, nothing in the Constitution says that an act of Congress is unconstitutional simply because...
John Boner.
...thinks it's wrong. Okay. Oh. That's what I'm saying. They have to play to their right-wing crazy base.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Lou Dobbs saying to a birther, well, your point of view certainly can't be discounted. Yes!
Yes, it can.
Yes, it can!
Very easily.
There are things called facts.
Jennifer in Sacramento, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Jen.
Good morning. Calling to comment on that last caller. And just to help him out a little bit as far as personal responsibility, I'd like to point out that, for example, in Sicko, everybody that he covered had insurance that they had paid for, and the health care was inadequate and highly expensive. And the example being the people who volunteered at Ground Zero to help clean up and look for bodies, they ended up getting some respiratory disease that completely made them lose their jobs and health coverage.
Right, right.
And he had to take them to Cuba to get health attention.
Yes,
thank you. And affordable, medications.
Yeah. Well, but it seems to me, Jen, that this is what the right-wingers always do. They find a way to kind of divide people and fear-monger, because you're right, you start to, they're like the me party, aren't they? It's just, what about you? Screw all those other people. Screw the, brown people and the, but that's what they try to go, I have healthy habits, why should I have to pay for people that don't? Not forgetting that we do now.
I don't need an obstetrician. Why should I pay for yours?
Exactly.
And those people weren't wearing masks because the EPA told them they didn't.
Everything was fine. Yeah.
And they knew damn well that wasn't the case.
42 minutes after the hour, because it's Right Wing World Hour, Chris, you won't believe this, but Sean Hannity got something wrong.
Huh? You're kidding me.
Yes.
Oh, the horror.
Yes. On top of Rush Limbaugh getting pranked. By a humor blog, Sean Hannity also. Seems somewhat uninformed. Tell you what that was about as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
And now, here's something we hope you'll really like.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Was up 84 points. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Hey, how about some good news in this economy? Why, Jim Ward has some economic fun facts.
Well, according to Bloomberg News, the GDP probably grew as stimulus took hold. U.S. economy preview. The world's largest economy grew at a 3.2% pace from July through September after shrinking the previous four quarters, according to the median estimate of 65 economists surveyed by Bloomberg News. Other reports may show sales of new homes and orders for long-lasting goods increased. So, looks like the stimulus is working.
What? Oh, no.
It's off to a decent but unspectacular start, said
Scott in Gainesville, Florida, on healthcare. Hello, Scott.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Hey, you had a caller earlier that was talking about personal responsibility and how if you smoke, that we shouldn't have to pay for you who smoke.
Well, yes, we should put you adrift on an iceberg with the bumble.
In France, everybody smokes. And in Greece, everybody smokes. But they still pay less than we do per person.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
In Germany, they drink like fish. And they eat fatty, you know, Jaeger schnitzel and very
Jaeger schnitzel? Jaeger schnitzel. That sounds awesome.
Yes.
Not Jägermeister. It just means hunter.
Oh, okay.
Yes, it's mushrooms on top of
A
breaded cutlet. Yeah.
I thought it was a schnitzel made with Jägermeister.
Yeah, I thought it was a breaded cutlet that was soaked in Jägermeister.
That's good eating. Okay. Stephanie in Madison wants to talk about John Boomer.
John Boomer.
Mm-hmm. We have new audio crack. Hello, Stephanie. What would you like to say about
John Boomer?
Oh, my God, Steph. I'm laughing so hard. I'm crying. I'm so happy. Thank you so much.
It takes very little to make you happy. Only
John Boomer.
Oh, my God. I can't talk.
All right, Steph. Okay. Audience is just as immature as we are.
John Boomer.
Who would have thought that
John Boomer
could bring so much joy to someone?
So much happiness. We finally found a way for him to do something good, that sad orange little rabbit. I'm not sure that's the right cartoon character I'm thinking of. Every time he comes out in his little press conference. Maybe Droopy Dog. I can't figure out what cartoon character
because he has all
like.
Those bags and lines on his face from the years of chain smoking.
Yes. And he always looks like, well, he always has been crying, but he always looks, his eyes look red either from the gin or the crying. And he just looks like a sad little orange rabbit or dog or something. Huckleberry hound.
Lunchtime Rob Roy's will give you that look.
He's just weepier than
cigarettes. A bit of Dabber left.
Why weren't he going Glenn Beck's show so that we could have a man blubber fest, a man weep fest? That would be.
I think the top of our list is providing for the safety and security of the American people. That's at the top of our list.
Yes.
You're stealing my act. I love my country so much.
Oh, shut up.
John Boomer.
All right. Sean Hannity got something wrong. What? Oh, what happened?
Say it ain't so, Joe.
They just, you know what? They're just trying to gin up a war a day, don't they? Mm-hmm. He's trying to provoke a culture war over a New York City subway atheist ad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The ad, sponsored by the Big Apple Coalition of Reason, just reads, "A million New Yorkers are good without God, are you?"
Yeah.
Whatever.
Okay. I'd like to know the answer.
Sensing
to that.
An opportunity to exploit the ads for political benefit, Hannity told his audience a Christian group could never get away with airing ads like that.
Really?
Can you imagine the outrage of a Christian group with pro-God ads in the New York subways? What outrage! You know why, Chris, he wouldn't know much about subways? Because
he rides in town cars and limos.
Yes, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And also
and private jets.
About, exactly, flying. He wouldn't know anything about flying commercial airlines either. Since he demands a private jet to go to any of his radio stations. So that's why he may be a little uninformed about what's in the looky there, it's God ads. They've been in the subway
for years.
Christians have been putting up pro-Christianity ads in the subway for years, and nobody cares.
If they did that, the outrage would... What, if they have been? What,
why things Sean Hannity anything? Perhaps shouldn't talk about. Things in the subway.
Yeah.
Things he's that only the little, heard about.
Things that the little people see. He really should... Yeah, he doesn't know from what little people see.
He probably gets carried to the car so he doesn't have to step on the sidewalk between the hotel door and the
He'd be
the
like
remote.
Some pathetic, like, you know, B-list comedian trying to do commercial airline humor.
Yeah.
And it's like the little, what do they have, peanuts or something on the
whatever they have
things,
there in the airplane.
You know, when you, and you know, last time I went through security, you know, When do you think the last time he flew commercial is? Seriously.
Oh, God.
You have
sometime before 9/11.
You have a delightful story about the right-wing radio station you used to work for.
Oh, yes, the right-wing station in Phoenix that I used to work for. Mm-hmm. We got him a private plane
as is required when you want Sean Hannity to come to your station.
But he pitched a fit because it wasn't the right kind of private plane.
Hmm. Yes. I hate when that happens, when they don't send the right private jet, don't you, Jim?
Just outraged.
Jim and I have had to travel. We go out the luggage chute. That's how we get to our affiliates.
Oh, and we had to have steak for him at the station.
Oh, did you?
Yes, we had to have steak.
I'm guessing Ruth's Chris.
Yes.
Okay.
This is substandard.
Yeah, we send a rider twice, just as a joke, and then it just gets balled up and sent back.
Yeah.
Just with a little
Porterhouse? Who eats Porterhouse anymore? I'm leaving.
So I take it you're not flying a commercial jet to Chicago?
Oh, no.
Or a private jet, I mean.
I'm sure they're looking into that, and they'll get back to me.
Maybe they'll overshoot Chicago and you wind up in Toronto.
No, I'll be with the sleeping commercial pilot. Right. That's what I'll be with. Every time I get ready to fly, there's some horrible story like that. What? We only overshot it by 150 miles. What? Stop whining back there.
It's nothing. Compared to flying to the moon? 150 miles. Come on.
I love that we're supposed to feel better that they say they were fighting.
Yeah.
They weren't sleeping. That's why they forgot to land the plane.
I'm having an argument.
It's like an airplane. It's like the red zone and the white zone, arguing people.
Now arriving at gate 5, gate 6, gate 7.
Okay, not Minneapolis at all now. Okay, Cleveland. All right. Detroit. Okay, next stop. All right, a little bit of celebrity stack. You were not the only criminal over the weekend. Chris LaVoy received his first speeding ticket ever.
Yeah, I did.
And I suggested that you be extradited back to Arizona or wherever you're from.
But I was born here in Los Angeles County. Thank you very much.
Whatever. The U.S. has asked Switzerland to hand over Roman Polanski to authorities in California, where he could serve up to 2 years in prison. For having sex with a in 1970, 13-year-old. Okay.
I belong in.
I love how some people go, that was different in the 70s. I don't remember. I lived in the 70s. I don't remember.
You don't remember
okay
anyone
with my
slipping
parents.
You a quaalude.
I had sex at 13. I don't remember that being okay in the 70s.
Hey, you're on quaaludes. You can't be held responsible for your actions when you're on quaaludes. Come on.
Yeah, I imagine telling my parents, oh, he gave me a quaalude. Oh, well, it's all right.
That's okay.
Okay, then. Was it good champagne? Oh, good. Criminal charges dismissed against Kanye West, well-known asshat Kanye West.
Mm-hmm.
A court commissioner dismissed criminal charges against he and his road manager stemming from their scuffle with photographers last year at LAX. Those pesky TMZ cameras caught that on tape. He apparently Kanye has already completed 12 hours of anger management classes.
Mm-hmm.
He apparently has not even started his non-asshat classes yet, as evidenced by his award show. Outburst.
Yes, his asshattery.
Yes. Mm-hmm. There's no cure for that.
No.
Asshattery. Or stickery. All right. Wow. Dallas stars Linda Gray and Larry. And now we're talking my vintage. Linda Gray and Larry Hagman have confirmed they've been approached to reprise their Sue Ellen and J.R. Ewing for a remake of the classic.
I put the Hag in Hagman.
He's still alive.
He doesn't even have any of his original organs, does he?
No. No.
No.
They're
going to they're out of ideas. They're redoing Dallas, apparently.
Now, whatever happened to that Dallas movie that was supposed to star John Travolta and J-Lo? And remember that? We were reporting on that a few years ago?
Oh, yes. I don't know. Here's something you're excited about. What? The Melrose Place. What do you call it? Heather Locklear coming back.
Yes. I am excited about that. I will watch it then.
Ashley Simpson-Wentz is getting the boot. But Heather
Locklear. She was
Locklear,
on that show?
I guess.
Good Lord.
So Heather
hire anybody,
will join
they?
The new edition starting November 17th. That's when your life will magically get better.
Right.
All right. The only reason I bring in this up, Jim, Ivanka Trump will tie the knot this weekend. It'll be at Trump National Golf Club, and I'm guessing it'll
huge.
Be. Yeah.
Huge. Just yeah. like a rack.
As
huge.
weddings go, it'll be.
Huge.
Mm-hmm. It's the only reason I bring up any Trump
Regis
story.
Regis Philbin's going to be singing.
Oh, God.
It's out of control.
All right, all right.
You're fired.
All right. 57, as weddings go, it's going to be a big one.
Huge.
Exactly. 57 minutes.
As only a Trump wedding can be.
Exactly. 57 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show.
Kurtz, our buddy, our pal, coming up on the big show tomorrow.
Yes, he's going to be right at the beginning of the show.
Yes. Hour number one. All right. The Stephanie Miller Show. StephanieMiller.com is the website. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the number toll free to join us. All right. Meantime, guess what?
What?
Mama's always right, as you know. Mm-hmm. I said the public option isn't dead. I said it will not die.
Public option, the one provision of health care reform that refuses to die.
I think it's time to kill the public option. Finally, come out and do it.
Then you shall die.
Well, I think the public option is dead. It's probably been dead a long time.
I think the public option is now officially dead.
It's off. It's gone. It's dead. It's a dead parrot.
I'm not dead. It is not dead.
Alive. The negotiations are leaning about a public option.
I have said I have House bill. I will have a public option.
For months, it seemed that the public option was dead in the Senate. But in a dramatic development, Majority Leader Harry Reid is now pushing to include it in the bill that he will introduce in the United States Senate.
It seems like it was only a week ago that everybody in this town said that the public option was dead. Bill Kristol, what happened?
Oh, it's alive.
Thank you, Shado. Yeah, although we're not sure, it might be a triggerish, opt-outish type thing, sort of looking public option.
Option-y-ish.
Type thing. Okay, well, you know, you may need health care should you have been dumb enough to purchase vaginal mints.
Excuse
which,
me?
According to the consumerist, are a very, very bad idea.
Oh, dude!
Linger, it's it bills itself as the Intimate Mint.
Intimate.
Or a feminine...
Intimate.
Or a feminine flavoring system.
A system?
Yeah. Because you're supposed to put it in your...
Vajayjay.
The problem with the product, of course, it's an unholy alliance of three things, preying on women's insecurities about their bodies, remarketing a mundane product for media attention, and advocating that people do something that is extremely unhealthy. Admins contain sugar. Sugar in one's lady parts can lead to catastrophic yeast infections. You know, had a Skittle accident of any kind, and you know that. What?
Nothing. I'm just picturing someone with a loaf of bread doing something.
All right, Tim. Okay.
I'm just picturing someone with a Skittle up there. Stephanie.
What? Okay. Hey, Jim. Who said for Rush and Glenn and Balloon Dad, the allure of media attention is too powerful to be curbed by a sense of social responsibility? Who said that?
John Gosselin.
No, it's a good guess, though. Del Cicado in a column in the Hill newspaper. Who said the bad behavior of Balloon Dad, also known as Richard Heaney, has parallels to the reckless rants from the GOP's two most powerful voices? Who said that?
Dr. Mom.
No, the same guy, Del Cicado. Who said when a troubled soul with nothing to offer craves the national spotlight, he builds a balloon and tells an outrageous story. When a political party with no good ideas thirsts for power, it outsources its message to those who manufacture fear and incite anger. Who said that?
Richard Hatch.
Bad guesses all. No, Del Cicado in the Hill newspaper. Oh, he also talks about Rush and Beck's warning about vaccinating children. That may end up being unwise, I'm sure. If somebody's kid dies of that, I'm sure they'll...
There have been concerns about vaccines. There was one that was released too soon in the 70s and ended up paralyzing people, apparently. So, you know, the adjuvants, the things that they put in to sort of boost the immune system.
Bill Maher got off on a whole thing about vaccination this week.
I would go for the nasal one.
Yeah.
Because live virus, you know.
This is one I missed on Rush Limbaugh, who was just pranked by a humor column, who he took to be Obama's college thesis.
Yes.
Which was not. It was a joke.
Yeah.
And he read it verbatim as if it actually was real. He recently, he said a New York Times reporter with whose work he had taken issue with should go kill yourself and help the planet by dying. he said that was just a tongue-in-cheek thing. You know, Mama believes the children are the future. Wow, here's something even one of my nuns didn't think of. In Catholic school, a mother said a secretary at her six-year-old son placed duct tape on his mouth and taped his wrists together. She said her son had been sent to the principal's office because he'd been acting up. It appears that he continues his antics in the main office in front of the secretary who taped him up.
Yeah, that's something you would
do. I was smacked with the Board of Education by a nun or two, but I was never duct tape.
Yeah, but that's something you would do to unruly children.
No, I would not.
Yes, you would. Come on.
What was your instrument of torture? I forget. You the bat that they used in your school.
Oh, well, no. We had...
It had holes in it.
Well, yeah. If you were really bad, you got the paddle with the holes in it. But if you were just,
medium bad.
Yeah. There was a paddle with no holes. But my mom used to hit me with a metal spoon, so...
Ah. Okay. All right. Veronica Rodriguez describes her daughter, 17-year-old Sierra Sturgis, as a perfect child, straight-A student, a goalie on the soccer team, a trumpet player in the band, and active in Students Against Destructive Decisions.
So far, so good.
If only there'd been such a group when I was growing up, I might have avoided so much destruction in my life. Sturgis is also gay and feels more comfortable in boys' clothes, her mother says, so she supported her daughter's decision to wear a tuxedo rather than the drape customary for girls when she had her senior portrait made in July. Now she is battling officials at the school who received a letter stating that only boys can wear tuxedos and have refused to include the photo in the school yearbook. She's not allowed to play in any of the reindeer games in the yearbook.
From now on, gang, we won't let Rudolph join in any reindeer games.
Sturgis said she has received support from classmates and people around the nation, including us.
Yes.
You go, sister. Wear whatever the... I never did understand the drape anyway.
I'm sure it's a better tuxedo than I had in the 70s. It was...
I remember
ruffles. You had to have ruffles.
Ruffles, big velour bow tie.
I remember all I was concerned about is, you know how they always had you place your hand in some way on your face or your chin, and so it was just covering up the zits. You had to strategically place your hand in such a way.
Oh, come on. They could retouch them.
And all our pictures were near a tree. What was that about? I don't know why we were always supposed to be leaning against a tree or...
Went to a studio.
Yeah, those were the casual pictures.
All right.
No, they always had the photographer set up in, like, the gym or something. And they used to, you know...
Our high school contracted with a local photo studio.
Oh, really?
There.
Okay. Huh.
I remember for one school picture, I wore a paisley dress with some sort of 70s kind of chain necklace. It was, oh, dear God.
Oh, my
And my
God.
Link from Mod Squad hairdo in my unibrow. It was really... Woo! That year's picture was...
Do you still have your yearbooks?
No, I think I do.
You know what?
One.
We are on in the greater Buffalo Metroplex. Somebody has to...
Don't you dare.
DeSales Catholic High?
I don't remember.
In Lockport, New York?
I don't remember.
Yes, okay. Somebody has to find Stephanie Miller. Maybe in the DeSales Catholic High Library. They have all the old yearbooks.
I bet they do.
Chris at StephanieMiller.com is where you can send those pictures.
I don't think they exist anymore.
Chris at StephanieMiller.com.
Your daddy had those expunged, too?
President Bush was in Canada to speak to a luncheon of the Montreal Board of Trade. Approximately 300 protesters outside gathered outside, blowing plastic horns, throwing shoes, and burning the former president in effigy. Oh, good, the effigy business is back. George Bush is out in public.
What's an effigy?
Inside, Bush spoke with very few regrets about his presidency. Because what's there to regret? It was almost spotless. He said, I'm confident as I can be. I made a decision based on principle that I made calls best as I could. I did not sell my soul. He also he said he did regret appearing in front of the Mission Impossible sign.
Mission accomplished.
He actually didn't even get the sign right.
It turned into a Mission Impossible pretty much.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Hey, thanks, Canada, for all the poutine and the shoes. Miss me. Nailed me that time. Good thing it was a muckluck. Nice and soft. I am confident that I made decisions. I'm pretty sure I made some decisive decisions. They may have been the wrong ones, but at least I didn't sit around thinking about stuff like that egghead Obama. What's it been, 9 months, and he still hasn't solved all the problems I left him? That's what thinking will get you. You got to take action. Just go. Do. Get her done. That's what I did. So I did when I stood in front of that Mission Impossible sign. On retroflexion, should have been a Hawaii 5-0 sign, or maybe the Mod Squad. Love me some Julie Lipton. I'd like to invite her to a tea bagging party. Get it? Oh, Lipton, God. Tea. Nah, no fair throwing lumberjack boots. Beam me once. Shame on you. Ow. I gotta go.
Oh, gosh. I miss him. Missing this. Oh, by the way, his Fiery Freedom is still going really well in Iraq. Did you see that? Two suicide bombs blew up over the weekend.
Sad.
Killing 136 people in the deadliest attack in more than 2 years. President Obama condemned the outrageous attack, saying they reveal the hateful and destructive agenda of those who would deny the Iraqi people the future that they deserve. Yeah, who was it that said earlier this morning, if only they had dithered a little more over Iraq, maybe there wouldn't be so many people dead unnecessarily, American and Iraqi, just saying.
Yes, Hussein was a bad guy, but the world's full of them, and we made things worse.
Yes.
Yes. You recall, gosh, I remember it like it was, it was just last week. Dick Cheney said in the fall of 2008, fully aware of the need to meet new challenges being posed by the Taliban, we dug into every aspect of Afghanistan policy, assembling a team that repeatedly went into the country, reviewing options and recommendations, briefing President-elect Obama's team. They asked us now to announce our findings publicly, and we agreed, giving them the benefit of our work and the benefit of the doubt. John Podesta this weekend, did you see this? He said they did present him with a report at the very end of the Bush administration, but I have it from reliable sources. The principals in the Bush administration spent 1 hour on that report before they handed it off to Obama.
God.
Yeah,
one
thanks
hour.
For your brilliant plan. We let Osama go at Tora Bora, and now we don't...
No, we got nothing.
We don't... I don't know. We went to Iraq. We don't really... I got nothing. I don't know. It's some sort of counterinsurgency.
Whatever.
All right. Well, good luck. Okay. Defense Secretary Robert Gates this weekend.
As has been said publicly in Washington, and as I said, we're not pulling out. I think that any reduction is very unlikely.
You know what? I'm becoming more and more in the get the out of Afghanistan contingent. I don't see the point. Robert Gates this weekend again.
Probably over the next 2 or 3 weeks, we're going to be considering specific options and teeing them up for a decision by the president.
Jim, I'm sorry. You were going to say about Afghanistan?
I think we've lost the thread.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe there's something we could have done when Pat Tillman was still alive before we took our eye off the ball and went into Iraq for no good reason.
Yeah.
But at this point, we're not going to beat the Taliban. And every time we do take out bad guys, you know, almost every time we take out a bunch of civilians, too. And so what? Not the
where's
way
where's that going? Lives. I know. Horn Hatch brought up a claim. Boy, that's the Fox technique. Did you see this? He brought up a claim. He said, some people have made, some say, Jim, that President Obama is waiting until this year's gubernatorial election in New Jersey and Virginia before making a decision on sending troops to Afghanistan, adding those people were hypercritical, and he hoped that's not the case. Some people... I think I've even been hypercritical in suggesting he's waiting till after the election because they have some tough governorships up for election. I hope that's not the case. Yeah, that is. First of all, we just come out of 8 years of they made every decision for political purposes, and whether it was troops or war or peace or whatever. And he's like, because Obama is thinking through strategy. Oh, that must be for political reasons, I'm sure. All right, bad news for me. Someone has found a yearbook. Dave in Buffalo,
fast.
You're on the... Damn it. My listeners have way too much free time. Dave in Buffalo.
Good morning, Mama.
Good morning.
Actually, I'm going to threaten to drive up to Lockport on Friday. And I remind me again, what graduating class am I looking for?
I don't remember. It was so long ago. I don't...
1945.
Stop it.
Pardon me? 1977?
Was it 77? 78?
1979.
79, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Class of 79.
I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Thank
good
you.
Luck. All right. Goodbye.
To sales Catholic High.
Bastard person. 20 minutes after the hour. All right. Right back with what's up with this economy? Also, we have Sarah Benincasa coming up, comedian, Huffington Post blogger extraordinaire, as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Look, the two symbols of the Republican Party, an elephant and a big fat white guy who's threatened by change.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
In Gary, Indiana, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Al.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, this morning, typical of Fox News,
It seems like the scary fox theme of the day or the week might be atheism. And there was a graph on Fox, and it indicated that over the decades that 25% of the population in the U.S. now claims a non-affiliation with any particular religion. And Christopher Hitchens was on the set, and they're all looking at the graph, and immediately Gretchen Carlson goes on to complete Foxaganda and interprets that to mean that 25% of the people in the country are atheists. And the guy hadn't even got off the set yet, and he already had to clarify what she was saying, which maybe is a good thing, because in real time, he didn't have to disavow it later on in the day. He could do it right on the show, I guess. So maybe that's an improvement.
I Fox News, an improvement in the same sentence. I don't know.
Whatever.
Okay.
Gretchen Carlson is a piece of work. Good Lord.
Gee, here's some breaking news. U.S. Senator John McCain, it seems like he's endorsing single-payer European-style health care system.
What? Excuse me? Oh, his mother. That's right. I heard about this.
Mm. The 97-year-old mother of U.S. Senator John McCain spent the night in a Lisbon hospital in Portugal. The hospital said in a written statement Roberta McCain was in stable condition, undergoing tests after being admitted Thursday evening. She apparently had a fainting episode and injured her head. By the way, they have a single pair. So I guess.
That's why she'll be fine.
Interesting.
They didn't ask her immigrant status.
No, nope. Lucky
need
for
an
him.
Insurance card.
Lucky for him. And they got that fancy universal type health care.
Yeah.
Okay.
Socialism. Socialized medicine. Boom.
Jim read some economic fun facts earlier showing that the stimulus does appear to be working. Joe Biden this weekend.
We hope and we believe we can, with your help, use the Recovery Act as sort of jump-starting an engine that creates jobs that are well-paying jobs that people will be able to live.
I was reading a little bit of the, was it Newsweek? Why Joe is no joke. Because, you know, people can make fun of him misspeaking, but see, I just misspoke talking about him misspeaking. However, he is probably one of the smarter, more experienced vice presidents we've ever had. Valerie Jarrett, senior White House advisor.
We're fully on track with the recovery bill and the spending that's going forward, but we've only spent about a little less than half of the money. And so we still have a ways to go with the recovery bill.
Yeah, didn't we just play someone in Right Wing World earlier saying, clearly it's been a complete bust.
Yeah, Charles Krauthammer said that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
On Friday's Ripper show.
Mm-hmm. Ripper. Christine Romer, Council of Economic Advisors.
Movements in the unemployment rate, either up or down, are likely to be small. As a result, unemployment is likely to remain at its severely elevated level.
One of my best friends, she has decided she may actually move to Vegas and become a madam. She has an advanced degree and she can't get a job. She's thinking about it. Just saying, that's a job situation not so good in this economy.
The job situation in Nevada is not much better.
Oh, they've got all these empty buildings.
Yeah, they do.
It's like a back lot.
Always room for hoes. 28 minutes. This is what this country has come to. Sarah Benincasa, comedian, Huffington Post vlogger extraordinaire, as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Got totally wasted. It was really funny. Then it was gross.
Enough about my weekend. 33 minutes after the hour. Friends don't like friends tweet drunk. You can go to twitter.com/SM Show. There you go. You know,
not
just
SNM
when
show.
I master one new internet thing the kids are doing, they invent something new. Like, you used to just be able to blog. Now you have to vlog, apparently.
Yes.
It's video blogging.
Yeah, why aren't you vlogging, Stephanie?
Because then you can see how drunk I am. All right. We
in
have
Transylvania,
a famous
vlog.
Huffington Post vlogger and a comedian extraordinaire, Sarah Benincasa, on the phone. Hello, Sarah.
Hi, Stephanie. How you doing?
We're good. Any friend of Margaret Cho's is a friend of ours.
Oh, my goodness gracious. She's a very shy, retiring, quiet woman.
Yes.
Very conservative.
Yes.
Much like you.
You know, it's hard to shock me, Sarah, and I think I really... Her whole last one-woman show, I had that springtime for Hitler face. I learn new things every time I go to a Margaret Cho show.
It's magical. We just performed together a couple of times last week at during the College Music Journal Festival in New York, and she shared many beautiful things. It was very exciting.
Yes. Now, you, in fact, there's one vlog, I think, where she's interviewing you as Sarah Palin. You're in the bathtub?
I actually interviewed her. I do a series called Getting Wet with Sarah B, where I interview just people who I think are interesting, like Margaret and the author Neil Gaiman and Amanda Palmer, who's a rock and roller, and an actor named Donald Glover, who's on the new NBC show Community. And so it was really fun. I mean, it's really fun. I'm shooting some more, actually, while I'm out here in L.A., which I'm excited about.
Do you do the vocal impression, or are you just dressed like her, or how does it go?
When I did the Palin vlogs last year, I started doing them on my YouTube channel, and they just started getting a lot of traffic and getting picked up all over the place. And so then the Huffington Post hired us, which is great because they don't usually pay anybody. So they actually paid us money.
How do you think I got so rich, darling?
They hooked us up. And so my comedy partner, Diana Saez, and I made these vlogs where I dressed up as Palin and just sort of insanely ranted about whatever we felt like ranting about. And it was great. We were on the TV and we were all over the place.
You know, isn't it hard? She's the first person, like, she actually, you can't tell the difference between her sometimes in an SNL sketch. Can you, like, when she had the guy shoving the turkey in a chipper behind her while she's talking?
Oh,
thinking,
God, I love her so much, Stephanie. Everything she does is pure gold.
It's magic.
Golden.
Yeah, that rambling resignation speech, it was just like, oh, my God.
I felt like I was high. I was like, this is so good. Jeez, everything she does makes me really happy in, like, a deep, sick kind of way.
Now, your new web series at the Huffington Post is called Democracy Wow!
It is, because
which is
I felt
funny.
Like Amy Goodman wasn't, like, showing enough boob on Democracy. So I was like, I need to do a new one. The first episode is with me interviewing the Yes Men, the mm-hmm. pranksters and activists.
Right.
And basically what I do on Democracy Wow! Is I ask intelligent people stupid celebrity questions.
you're sort of like a liberal stuttering John sort of.
Sort of. You know, except I think I have better hair and I'm cuter, like slightly cuter. I mean, he is a very handsome man.
So, Sarah, what are you? You're following the healthcare debate. So it looks like tomorrow is going to be a big day. We'll find out what's going to happen where in the Senate and the House. Is there going to be an actual public option or not? It gets a little tiring, doesn't it? The healthcare debate.
Well, Stephanie, I'm wealthy, so I don't really care.
Well, good for you.
I mean, I'm sure that for other people it's an issue, but for me, I just snap my fingers and someone gives me acupuncture and a mammogram. For free, because I'm wonderful.
At the same time. Now, you have a one-woman show here called Agora Fabulous.
I do, actually, speaking of healthcare. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Speaking of healthcare, in fact, I do. Yeah, I've been touring all across the country with it, and I'm really psyched to be doing it in L.A. It's this Monday and next Monday at Largo at 9 p.m., and then on, I think, November 7th at the Los Angeles Comedy Festival.
Okay, well, fabulous. By the way, links to Sarah's vlogs are at stephaniemiller.com right now.
Thank you.
So it's getting, I mean, that's, you know, that was the big thing we always heard, Sarah, right, when after Bush was gone, like, oh, it's comedy's dead now. There's no more comedy. But is it me, or is the white ring getting, like, crazier and crazier? Between Glenn Beck and Sarah Palin and...
Glenn Beck. You know, Glenn Beck and I are actually dating, Stephanie.
Really? Thank you for breaking that news.
I don't feel like I can really comment.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that you two had a thing.
Yeah, back when we were both DJs. That's for another time.
I can't talk about... Right, yeah. I can't talk about... Let's just say he hasn't gotten over you.
Really? Whoever has.
He hasn't, and I'm still having to deal with it. you know,
Stephanie, it's all you ever talk about.
It's true. It's very difficult for me and Glenn, but I think we're going to work through it. I think it's because maybe Bush was sort of the chief clown, and now the president isn't necessarily a goofy or laughable individual. He's a somewhat, I think, pretty respectable individual. But The voices of the people who would have and did support Bush are louder and angrier than ever, and so they're quite entertaining.
They really are. It's just like a special kind of crazy. Like, remember how the, like, you know, the critique they always give the left is over. They're not really manly enough. They're not strong on security. And Glenn Beck is this just weepy mess of a man.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think there is some, like, gender misidentification happening. I'm not sure. It's a very, it's a very deep thing that he's dealing with. Well, in our relationship, we're dealing with it together.
Yes.
He's a woman, is what I'm saying.
Uh-huh,
he is
yes.
a lady. He is a pretty lady.
It's more than I needed to know about him behind closed doors. Who else are your favorite characters?
Like the female Ann Coulter.
Yes.
Oh, Ann Coulter. Oh, Lord.
Who else are you? Yeah, wait, she's becoming, Rude Pundit was telling us today, she's become sort of the Norma Desmond of the right wing, hasn't she? She's so passé now, her kind of crazy.
Yeah, you know, I kind of always liked her because she's just very tall, and I respect that. And she's just, to me, she is in all seriousness, I honestly feel that she is an entertainer and knows, you know, exactly what she's doing. And I believe that she believes in a lot of what she's saying. But I think that she's more, she and Glenn Beck and people like that, I think are more performers than pundits.
Well, yeah, but what I'm saying is it's like people have out-crazied her now. So she's like one of those,
yeah,
you know, she's like one of those female comedians that's still just doing all tampon jokes. And
right,
is not
like she's wearing,
aware.
Like, some sort of blazer and talking about her period.
Yeah. Like some 80s blazer.
Totally.
She's like on Evening at the Improv from 1983.
And Paula Poundstone is hosting, and it's very, very beautiful. I think so. I actually met her in person for the first time, and I was like, this lady's like, she's really pretty in person. I know that's probably sexist and dumb for me to even bring that up, but, you know, it's interesting when you hear somebody's name bandied about and you come to think of them as a symbol of things that you don't like, and then you meet them and you're like, you have really good eye makeup.
Who's now, is this Ann Coulter we're talking about, or?
Yeah.
Oh, Ann Coulter.
Yeah,
you met her
yeah.
in person. Yeah.
My boyfriend hangs out with the kids at Fox News sometimes because he's like their go-to liberal on Red Eye, which is a pornographic program that they run at like
yes,
2 in
yes,
the morning.
Yes,
and
for the young kids.
For the kids.
Uh-huh.
And it's a very funny show. And I met her very briefly once through him. And I was like, she's so pretty. And then I was like, I'm going to party with Fox News people. That's so weird.
Yikes. Sarah Benincasa, you can read your vlogs on the Huffington Post. And the you can also find a link at stephaniemiller.com. If you're in the L.A. area, go to Largo to see her one-woman show, Agora Fabulous.
Yes.
Which
indeed.
Is...
Yes, it's about my agoraphobia, which is doing pretty well right now, considering that I'm in L.A. And I'm generally based in New York. So it's, but I swear it's funny. It's like stand-up, and it's goofy, and it's funny, and it's great. And then it's a little bit sad, but then it's funny again, and everybody has a good time.
And you laughed, and you cried, and you're, I'm going again and again.
Sarah, yes, it's beautiful.
Sarah Benincasa, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you so much, Stephanie. I really appreciate it.
There she goes. Thank you, honey. There she goes. She's a vlogger.
She is. Ah,
you know, I'm one of those people. I just held on to 8 tracks forever. I'm like, I thought I was hip. I blogged once, and I thought I was hip, and now...
No. You,
no.
No.
You, now I'm behind the times again. I have to vlog.
How many Twitters have you done today?
A few.
A few?
Mm-hmm.
I've only gotten one from you.
Sometimes I fall. Shut up! Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
I'm just going to... Add more consonants in front of the word log. Schlog.
So much pressure these days. But I'm not communicating in enough ways. I'm on the phone with people. I'm talking on the radio. I'm emailing people. And now I'm nowhere. Are you tweeting enough? I don't need this pressure.
At least you're on satellite radio as well.
42.
I don't even read all
There's
my emails.
There's enough wires involved in everything I'm doing right now.
I emailed you. Didn't you read it? No. I have 10,000 emails in my inbox.
Look at Jim Ward trying to outpopular me. 43 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Eek, I just spewed on my dashboard again. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Don't Don't forget, Howard Kurtz joins us at the very top of the show tomorrow, hour number one. Mm-hmm. 47 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. All right. Oh, by the way, this, you know the judge that would not marry the interracial couple?
Yep, in Louisiana.
Louisiana. This is the news for today.
Okay.
This one is out of Taos, New Mexico. Larry Witten marched into this northern New Mexico town on a mission to resurrect a failing hotel. The tough-talking former Marine immediately laid down some new rules. Among them, he forbade the Hispanic workers at the hotel from speaking Spanish in his presence and ordered some of them to anglicize their names.
Great.
Because they're too Hispanic-y.
In a place called Taos, Nuevo Mexico.
Sí.
Yeah. Sí. Sí.
Great.
So Marcos.
You can't call it pozole. It's got to be bean soup now.
What about, you know, San Antonio, Los Angeles?
Los Angeles.
Los Angeles.
Sí.
San Luis Obispo.
La Jolla.
San Francisco. San Diego.
All right. Christine.
You stop speaking Spanish. You're in America.
You're talking about me, ain't you? I heard that.
Las Cruces, New Mexico.
All right.
Santa Fe.
Team Romer, Council of Economic Advisors, talking about the stimulus again.
The fiscal stimulus will have its greatest impact on growth in the second and third quarters of 2009. And by mid-2010, fiscal stimulus will likely be contributing little to further growth.
I told you one of my good friends who has an advanced degree is thinking about opening a hoe house in Vegas.
Mm.
Just a spitballing it. She's just in the spitballing phase. She's like, if I don't get a job soon, pardon me?
Would you think there'd be a market for that?
A hoe house?
Yeah, even the hoe houses in Nevada, they're having some trouble.
Are they?
Yeah, because that's seen as like...
Business is coming in spurts, not so much steady anymore. What? I'm just saying...
Well, that's disposable income.
I was reading this story about Vegas. Vegas police are cracking down on they're getting tough on nightclub antics. Isn't
antics?
That where you go for antics? Is Vegas?
Yeah.
You go to Vegas, baby. What do you mean, antics?
Vegas, baby.
That's why, presumably,
Vegas,
what happens
baby,
in Vegas.
Vegas!
Stays in Vegas.
That's why you go to Vegas.
Las Vegas police cracking antics. Down on mega nightclubs at casino hotels that allegedly allow prostitution, lewd behavior, and drug use.
What?
The hell is the point of Vegas without any of that?
I've gone to Vegas, and there were antics all over the place.
Antics galore.
Antics galore. Sheesh.
Sheesh.
You just go there for the gambling?
Yeah,
come on. Go there for
Don't
the antics.
Go there for Siegfried and Roy. You go there for the antics.
You know, between the health care and the public option getting watered down and the Flavin, I don't want to read one more of these headlines. White House attacks worry moderate Democrats. Well, what doesn't worry moderate Democrats? A White House effort to undermine conservative critics is generating a backlash on Capitol Hill, not just from Republicans. I think it's beneath the White House to get into a tit-for-tat with news organizations, said a moderate Democrat.
He said tit.
Yeah. Well, if they were a news organization, you might have a point.
Exactly. That's all they're pointing out. They're not a news organization. White House Communications Director Anita Dunn has defended the push, saying the administration has made a fundamental decision that we needed to be more aggressive in both protecting our position and delineating our differences with those who are attacking us.
Delineating.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
House Majority Leader John Boehner. Yes, he is reading service for the blind.
That's John Boehner.
I told you, that's how you pronounce it. House Minority Leader
John Boehner
said the administration was targeting those who don't immediately fall in line with Chicago-style politics aimed at shutting the American people out and demonizing their opponent.
Blah, blah, blah.
John Boehner.
That's why you're a boner. All right. I think one of the things you're talking about is them taking on the Chamber of Commerce. But what's wrong with that if you disagree with their position on something? Several flagship companies of the Chamber, including Apple and PG&E, have cut ties with them to protest its opposition to climate change legislation. So the president on
it's
the
censorship.
There are going to be those who make cynical claims that contradict the overwhelming scientific evidence when it comes to climate change. Claims whose only purpose is to defeat or delay the change that we know is necessary.
Exactly. All right. Oh, by the by, here's something else I like about the White House I was reading. They like to use a lot of swear words like we do.
Especially Rahm Emanuel.
Yeah.
Yes. There is a story is called "What's with all the language at the White House?" President Obama called rap star Kanye West a jackass. Vice President Joe Biden told a senator to give me a break. Economic advisor Christina Romer, who we just played, declared Americans had yet to have their holy moment over the economy. Those who pay attention to political
rhetoric.
They're
talking like real people.
Exactly.
That's what I like
about
it.
Here's what the point of the story is. They're just covering it more now.
Yes.
They always talk like filthy sailors at the White House. Those who pay attention to political rhetoric say an unusual amount of profanity has emanated from this White House, even without counting Rahm Emanuel. Team Obama is no crasser, though, than administration's past. It's just they're being quoted more accurately. My dad's the guy that beat my dad, Lyndon Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Filthy, filthy mouth, I'm told.
Really?
Yes.
What about your dad?
No.
No?
He was a good Catholic boy.
Oh.
Sometimes. He had a good joke.
Okay.
Amongst the boys, you know.
Okay. Where'd you get your filthy mouth from? Yours.
From my father.
Okay.
Cursing happened all the time across the board. Wherever you went in the White House or on the trailer and campaign offices, simply just wasn't written about. That's true.
Yeah.
They just didn't cover it back in the day. Presidents Johnson, says right here, mm-hmm. and Nixon were known for their salty tongue, although they were seldom quoted cursing in contemporary media.
No, we have tape of Nixon.
Yeah.
I think Johnson said about my dad that Goldwater picked him because he drives Johnson nuts. It's true.
Hmm.
My dad did drive Johnson nuts.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. Oh, well, speaking of fighting Republicans, we missed this story last week. You know our good friend right wing filmmaker John Ziegler. Did you see?
You mean our good friend Kemosabe?
Yeah.
He used to work at the right-wing wax station down the hall. It's a whole story. Let's not get into it again.
All right.
Okay. You tend to open your pie hole about that entirely too much. Okay.
I didn't say anything.
I love this story. So let me... They're coming apart at the seams. They're disintegrating between the Glenn Beck-Lindsey Graham man fights and... Michael Savage hates Beck and... Oh, it's great! David Keene, did you see the footage of this? Chairman of the American Conservative Union was confronted by John Ziegler, noted right-wing asshat.
Mm-hmm.
Because he has a giant, you know, for Sarah Palin. So he had criticized Sarah Palin. Earlier in the year, Keene had said Palin spent too much time whining about the national media's criticism on her, was too resentful of the McCain camp, and appeared to be bitter. Keene's opinions were too much for Ziegler, who is a stalwart Palin fanatic.
And he has a giant
John Boomer
for Sarah Palin.
Yes.
Yes.
That was my point.
Uh-huh.
He has previously said any conservative who criticizes her should be ostracized and public and punished because he has a giant
John Boomer
for her.
Who doesn't?
So he attended this Western conservative political something where he sat down for an interview with Keene. Ziegler began by telling Keene his criticism of Palin sounded like Keith Olbermann. Keene stood by his views, arguing Palin's decision to quit as governor has shown she cannot handle leadership and responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
The interview grew heated as Ziegler began lobbing personal attacks at Keene, facetiously suggesting he was being paid to issue critical statements of Palin.
Oh, God.
Keene got up and walked away, which led to a public showdown. Did you see that part where he threatened to punch him?
No!
He said, "You're a liar." Yes, you're a liar. I said, "This is over. You got it over. Get out of my face. I'm not going to hit you, but I'd like to. I'm not answering to anything to you because you're a jerk. You're a scumbag. You're a hole." Got that on the air? Hole.
Oh, no. Wow.
Oh, when right wing. Nutbags fight. Oh, I love it. He doesn't want anyone to get in the way of his...
John Boomer.
For Sarah Palin. Meanwhile, the DNC raises just over $8 million in September, reversing the GOP's longtime fundraising.
Hey!
My goodness. Oh, they've long dominated party fundraising. The reversal means Democrats have started to capitalize on their electoral majorities, which is not what you're hearing. Oh, by the way, we forgot to give a... To Robert Byrd, 91 years old, has reappeared on the Senate floor.
That's right.
And had some of his old bluster. He was managing a $44.1 billion Homeland Security spending bill. 91 years old, the longest-serving senator in history. He's come back from illnesses before, and there he is.
Good for him.
Back in time for a health care vote. All right, 57 minutes after the hour, that's it for us today. Join us tomorrow for Howard Kurtz right at the top of the show. See you then on The Stephanie Miller Show.